What is up, everybody? It's Monday night. We're barking. It's Bark After Dark. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Jake Roos. And disclaimer, we like to put at the top of every show. Oh, wait a minute. We will be talking college football tonight. We're going to talk quite a bit of college football.
Probably not like Georgia inside info, though. So if that's what you're
not,
here for.
Yeah, right. We're not going to be – we're not going to get into the – we may talk a little bit about the game, but we've got a little angle that we're going to talk about this Georgia-Kentucky game. Talk about a little chaos in college football. We got a lot to get to, Roos. Listen, you and I are notorious for taking a Dodge Colt, a Honda Civic, a Toyota Supra – into the mud and thinking we're just going to get out of it, and we get bogged down pretty quick. Yeah. So we're going to have to work on not doing that tonight. But how have you been? How's your microwave? What's going on?
Microwave is still on the fritz, but I've just been not using the microwave, so that's been pretty helpful, I guess. We missed last week, and that was because we had a staff meeting, which was a lot of fun, man. I had a great time. It was great to see everybody. I believe, like I said, that was the first time we'd all been together as a staff. So that was super cool, man. Great meal at Chuck's Fish down in at downtown Athens. And I loved it, man. I did laugh to myself after we got done with it, though, because I was like, Ro and I behave like an old married couple. Like you and I were like everybody else is like having their dinner, and you and I are like, here, try a little bite of this. Will you maybe like that?
Here, try some of this sushi. Hey, that's good sambal right
there. Yeah, taste my beer. I have some of the we're over here like sharing essentially. Yeah.
That's how it goes, man. That's how it goes. That's how you have fun when you eat out. That's what food tourists do. It's funny. You and I have sat around at tables with friends and stuff like that. And you really do eat three or four small meals as opposed to one big meal. 100%. It's a lot of fun. It's a cool way to eat. I know a lot of people that are disgusted with the idea of making that happen. As I was saying it, I was kind of like, that sounds pretty, pretty disgusting. Disgusting. Anyway, all right. So let's get in this Georgia-Kentucky game. Roos, it hurt my eyeballs to watch it. I found myself during commercials, I was twitching. I was so nervous. My toe was bouncing up and down. I was like, let's just get these commercials, get this game over with. One way or the other, I need this to end. It was like someone had me at gunpoint. And we both were pretty, jacked about it. Apparently, you fired some darts during the game. And the funny thing was, is we agree on why we were nervous. And really, it has nothing to do with Georgia's had such a hell of a run. Getting upset, like a true upset.
It's going to happen, right?
It's going to happen at some point, and it's not the end of the world, and that's fine. I've seen Georgia lose a lot of ball games, y'all. But we had the same agreement on why we were there, and it has to do with a lot of people that we really love.
Yeah, sure. Our subscribers is who we were concerned about that. No, so I was out watching the game at the local brewery here and enjoyed it. Had some friends out watching it, but I probably smoked about 3/4 of a pack of cigarettes. Now, a given evening, I might have a cigarette, maybe two. I smoked 3/4 of a pack on Saturday night. I had about 7 beers. I think because I was essentially just chain smoking the whole time, everybody was like, hey, are you okay? Like, are you nervous about what's going on in this game? And I had to explain it to people. And not everyone understands this, but I know that you do. And as soon as I said it, you connected with it. I was nervous about what was going to happen at work if Georgia lost. I wasn't necessarily concerned about them breaking the streak, but the message board was hard enough just based on that performance, let alone had they dropped that one, it was going to be just a pit of misery.
I felt like a doctor, or I felt like an emergency room nurse must feel when there's an ice storm.
Sure.
I'm like, oh God, we're about to be overwhelmed. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. I know your sister's in the medical field. I think mine is in the medical field too. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law are doctors. You guys are way more important than us. I'm having fun with this, but it's just like, man, you just know that there's just going to be dead bodies and carnage everywhere. And it's going to be so dramatic. And you want to push back against it. You want to do your job and get in there with everybody and kind of explain and bring reason. And I tell you, I'm so bad at it. Like, I'm bad at this in my marriage too, where I just won't leave it alone. Like it, you know, it very rarely happens. My wife is my best friend in the whole world, but sometimes she just kind of pisses me off a little bit. and she's in the wrong. And I just want to be like, hey, you need to go ahead and tell me you're wrong. Okay. Yeah. You need to go ahead and tell me you're wrong and you're sorry. You need to do that right now. You know, like, you need to get this done immediately.
Sure.
And then like 20 minutes later, I'm like, hey, let's don't put this off. You never procrastinate on anything. If it has to do with me, you need to tell me you're sorry. I don't know. I don't say those things, but that's how I'm kind of thinking. That's kind of how my body's, you know.
I hope he doesn't watch Bark After Dark is what I would say.
It very rarely happens. Yeah. And she probably thinks it happens even less than it does. But it's, you know, I don't know, man. I have a hard time like backing out of it and letting people kind of vent and settle down about it before you really start to kind of, you know, point things
you're
there.
You're much more a fighter on the board than I am. There's no doubt about that. You like to get in the mud with people. Most of what I do on the board is I make jokes. I'm always cracking jokes on the board. You are not opposed to a scrap though. And I have seen.
I mean, that I don't. Crazy. I never want it to seek go it that
out.
Way.
You don't seek it out.
No, I never want it to go that way. I mean, if I'm disagreeing with somebody, it's just my opinion, and I'm not saying that I'm wrong. I have. It's just when sometimes folks like to get personal, like you disagree with them enough. Or the one I hate the most is, listen, I know one thing I know about myself. I'm wrong plenty and I'm right plenty. But one thing I'm not is I'm not an extremist in any sort of way. I'm very middle of the road. I try my best to be that way because that's where I feel the best about myself. You know, like I don't have the I honestly think you could put a ton of money in front of me, and I don't know that I would be able to pull Skip Bayless off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I don't know that I could, you know, really just act my way
play into that character.
a position. I don't know if I could get in character like that. Not when I'm talking about sports and something that I've really tried my best to learn about as I've gotten older and I've tried to become an expert in it as best I could and understand everything I'm talking about. So I don't think I could do that. So ultimately I just want to talk to people about it. And I'm explaining, but then when people come in and, you know, when you're reasonable, I feel like it is something that I try to be and people agree with you, then people who disagree with you take the people who agree with you and they try to like throw them over on you and be like, Jake's coming with his butt buddies or whatever, you know, and listen, this is how immature boards can get sometimes if you're not on one. All right. They can get a little immature at times. I'm probably great advertisement here. And then that kind of gets on my nerves a little bit because I'm just like, listen, man, somebody else has an opinion and mine happens to agree with them. That's okay.
You know, you say that like great advertising. What people have to realize is that boards are just a microcosm of life, which in what I mean by that is like there's lunatic fringe everywhere you go. Right. I mean, and that's the case. That's the case on our board. That's the case in my everyday life as well. So, I mean, and it's consistently the same actors, right? I mean, that you're getting into it with on a consistent basis. I mean,
I wouldn't say that. I would say the people that like fire at you, you know, like that want to get personal with you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, those, you know, it's kind of the same consistent ones. And I honestly don't even take that personally. I really wish they would send me a direct message and curse me out.
Sure.
If you got a problem. You know, because I don't want us, you know, going back and forth about you being personal or talking about personal attacks to be the topic of the board.
I will say, though, that to get this back on the track of what we've been talking about, Alabama, Texas, right? Like, if you were to lose those games, people just are going to handle that a lot differently than they would if you'd lost to Kentucky. I don't know, man. You come on now. The spread on that game was 16.5, man. I mean, it was.
It was more than that. It was like 22.5.
No, 20, okay, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, I mean, the game was.
I get that, but I mean, I don't know, man. It's almost for me. This is, I guess, in differences in how we perceive it. I think you're like your capacity to be impacted by it may be a little bit higher than mine, But I feel like at some point the noise gets so loud that I don't care if it gets louder. You know, like it's just, you know, it's at some point there's a certain level of chaos we reach on a message board. This we're like, whatever. If it gets worse, it gets worse. I'm not going to notice it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm telling you, I think people would have taken that. It would have been taken.
They would have, no doubt. But I think they're going to. I think they're going to take any loss so hard that it's damn near unbearable anyway.
Yeah, to some degree. But you can, I think, look at, let's say, an Alabama or a Texas, and you could look across the field and say, like, okay, maybe our level of talents were similar. That everybody knew that was not the case with Kentucky. Georgia has consistently recruited better than Kentucky. Georgia has consistently put a better product on the field than Kentucky. Whereas an Alabama or a Texas, I mean, they're killing this year. And so I think people can just easier swallow, hey, the best man won versus, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, it, road games, all that stuff. I mean, I just don't think that it would have been tougher to get over, I think, and we would have probably been talking about it for a while, because then, you know, you've got to win two out of three of those to have a chance to get into playoff. Like, you've got to. And that was going to be – it was going to make the road a lot tougher. You know, kudos for them to pull that out. You know, they really did make every conceivable mistake and played poorly in so many different ways, found a way to win that game. I'm sure that did a lot for the culture. I'm sure that did a lot for them. You know, kind of – I felt like, you know, scoring on those first two drives of the second half, you know, 199 yards of offense in the second half on just four possessions, you know, definitely some things to build on and improve upon. And, you know, you get Dogs HQ Plus in the morning, man. Rusty and I are going to kind of break down some film of it. Man, college football in general, though, Roos, chaos, dude. Already, it seems like it's just kind of trying to set up shop.
I love it.
You've got, you know, Florida State losing three games already. You know, Florida is in absolute shambles. And we're not even really getting to, you know, Michigan looks awful. You know, look bad again this week.
I told you that was coming.
It seems like there's so many tight football games, like so many just airtight football games with, you know, teams that you perceive as good and teams that you perceive as not. And it's just, you know, Texas and Ohio State had a little bit of a hiccup, I think, in the first half of the first game. Didn't play that great. Texas has kind of ran through everybody, but that's just about it. I mean, Alabama's had a what-the-heck game. I guess
Ohio State's been consistently pretty good.
Yeah, they had like kind of a Georgia style first half hiccup against somebody. Right. I think it was late second quarter. They finally pulled away. Alabama fourth quarter against USF. I know I'm losing some more games here, but there's just a lot of, I don't know, man. Just, you know, a lot of teams you expected to be great. Oregon for two straight weeks.
Yeah.
Like crap, and then they just beat up on Oregon State. It's just seems like college football is just falling on the map.
We had, you know, we do our weekly picks at Dogs HQ. And we took Oregon State off the schedule and replaced it with Florida A&M. But I was going to pick Oregon State to, I was going to pick them to, you know, not – Oregon was not going to cover, in my opinion, based on what I'd seen the first 2 weeks. I am a full-blown member of the Sickos Committee, man. I love this stuff. This is what I live for.
Yeah, I do too.
In the world of college football, this is the fun stuff to me. Mm-hmm. This is where it gets super interesting. And I love to see it for teams that you don't traditionally see it out of, right? I mean, like, that's fun too. It reminds me of, like, when we played NCAA, right? It's you take a team and you build them and you watch it grow, like – I mean, like, Illinois right now is, like, what, 20th or something? Like, I mean, like, they're climbing the ranks. I mean, that was a dead and dying program. And suddenly here they are. Is it still Brett Bielema?
Yeah.
That's incredible, man. What a life that guy has lived. You know, you look around and you think about some of those narratives and some of those stories. Man, I'll tell you the one that has really kind of, I don't know that I should say surprised me, but you want to talk about like an enormous fall from the spotlight, like Colorado. I feel like nobody talked about that game leading up to the Colorado State game, not comparatively to like.
Yeah, I don't even know what happened in it. I just know.
I had to look it up. And you haven't had to go look up a lot of Colorado stuff here, you know, in the last little bit. But like that narrative has shifted really.
Who won that game?
Colorado. They won pretty handily.
Okay. I just saw that Shador and the Colorado State quarterback got into it.
They're going to get into it with everybody.
What else is new?
I'm not crazy about all this. The conference realignment stuff. The Pac-12 is coming back. I mean, like that's another storyline in all of this. Suddenly, we've resurrected a conference. Now it's a shell of its former self in its current state.
Let's call it the 12 pack, though. You know, and then let's get it right.
Yeah. I would love to see North Dakota State come into that conference. By the way.
Man, that's a big jump from FCS to power conference, maybe. It probably won't be a power conference,
It's not going to be. Come on now. We're talking San Diego State, Fresno State, like good teams, consistently good teams, but world beaters they are not. And I feel like also Stanford and Cal and UCLA, I'm looking at you. I mean, UCLA, I understand a little bit more, I guess, because the Big Ten money was good, but like, those teams should have hung back, and they could have been kings of the conference.
Hawaii in that
I think they're going to try. I believe that's in the mix. I think that's under consideration.
Well, you're going to have to stay regional then. It's a hell of a flight from California to get there, much less anywhere else. But that would be pretty cool. Might 56 years old may go out and, you know, here in about 10 years, start myself a site over at San Jose State or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I always forget, like, you know, I hope North Dakota State goes in, but I always forget how Midwestern that actually is. Like, there's nothing Pacific about North
Dakota. Yeah, not a whole lot.
But I don't know, man. It's been fun. I've really enjoyed it. And I've enjoyed that I don't feel like I know a lot this season. Like, I don't feel like I have a good read on who is actually good. Like, I think Texas is good. I think Alabama's good. I think Georgia's pretty good. But, like, are they? I don't know, man.
I felt like this last year, too. But this year, you've actually had some, like, upsets and stuff to make it tangible. It's not just a bunch of, like, you know, poor competition, sleepwalking, that type of thing. Like this time last year, I didn't know how good Georgia was. My thing was, hey, let's see. I remember exactly where I felt with Georgia this time last year. And it was, hey guys, listen, Carson Beck's in those first few games. You guys judged Stetson Bennett after those first few games. And you were wrong. Many of you were. So let's kind of pull back a little bit. Let's let this guy see if he can grow. He breaks out against Kentucky. And then it's kind of, you know, I don't know, looked a little shaky a time or two against Vanderbilt, but then, you know, went on an absolute tear after the bye week until, you know, he kind of struggled and the offense struggled against Alabama. But I felt like, hey, I don't know who's good last year. And ultimately, what it turned out to be is everybody you thought was going to be good going into the season, and then there was no chaos down the stretch. Everything played out so chalky. I mean, the only thing that really was there and you knew it was going to be there was you knew there was an Oregon-Washington matchup and the winner of that game was going to play in the college football playoff.
Right.
And, you know, Washington winning that a second time was winning twice in the same season against Oregon was probably the biggest piece of drama we got all late college football season last year.
Yeah. No, I would agree. And it may go that way this year. I'm interested to see, you know, can somebody kind of rise up and play spoiler? I don't know. I will say this. Speaking of message boards, you get access to all the message boards on three when you subscribe to Dogs HQ. So if you would like to go read the other message boards, you should. And they were incredible on Saturday.
Yeah.
The Gator board was incredible. The Florida State board has been consistently incredible, like just unbelievable, man. And what's getting me, man, is what are these teams going to do? What do you do? Billy Napier is owed like $30 million, man. Like Mike Norvell, like they're ready to run Mike Norvell out of town. He signed he's made like 10 a year.
Yeah.
I mean, he is crushing. Alabama tried to take him and they ponied up for it. I mean, like, what do you want? Like,
Dude, when I look at the Florida State
without Jordan, but without Jordan Travis, the guys won like four games or something. I mean, yeah. It's like insane.
When I look at the Florida State board, and I've always had a soft spot for Florida State. I grew up down there in South Georgia. A lot of Florida State fans down there. I love them. And I think a lot of them will agree with me on this. They have been put through a rigorous process. We'll compare it to that of the process you use to make wine. Okay. Like it's been pushed and pulled and squeezed. Undefeated season, had it snatched away from them, embarrassed because all your players opted out. Willie Taggart, Mike Norvell, Jimbo Fisher, great Jimbo Fisher, leave. Jameis, you know, like, I mean.
Eat that W, baby.
Man, I saw a story on that. Did I send you the story on that the other day?
Yeah,
where apparently he was just like, when he walked out of the locker room or walked into the locker room, he was like, somebody said that wasn't even the weirdest thing he did that day. He just was talking in the locker and they're about to walk out. He goes, hey, we just need to pull ours out and show them it's bigger than theirs. What? Like they were just, he just was just a surreal day.
I love Jameis. I'm sorry. God help me. He is an absolute, like, I hope that he is preparing himself for a life in broadcasting.
I don't know if he's going to be able to handle that. He's too much of a wild card.
He is. He's a wild card, but I feel like he could be one of those guys like a Shannon Sharpe who we might get.
We're going to have 25,000 10-second sound bites out of him in like 2 weeks.
Absolutely, man. I mean, just him at a studio desk, I think he would kill.
That time that he spoke to the camera and he goes, it was like my trainer was saying the other day. He said, what did he say? You know, I mean, one of the best ever, just one of the best, just so entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Florida fans went through all of that, and listen, that wine just made a wine, and listen, that wine is the Florida State fan base, and it's entertaining. Just sip on it. It's fine wine right now. It's fermented and it's rotten, like it's technically rotten. Sure. A little bit, but it's good. It's good to consume. Makes you feel good. But I'm telling you right now, you put that fan base through much more, and that wine's going to turn into poison. And it's just going to get ugly. It's going to get super toxic. I don't think it's that way at Florida State. I feel like their fan bases are really angry and they're upset, but I don't think you've got the toxicity at Florida State right now that you've got at Florida. I think somebody could go in and take over at Florida State and do a good job. I think Florida, man, I think that's a rebuilding job, dude. I think that is like, it's going to take us, even with the portal, I think you've got some stuff you've got to untangle administratively there that's going to take you 3 or 4 years.
I would say this, and I'm going to say that I disagree with you, because I think the Florida fan base is a lot more downtrodden. I think that it's more toxic at Florida State.
Yeah, because they're poisoned and they want to lay in bed all day.
They're like kind of content to lay and die right now.
Yeah,
like
don't poison these people.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. They're like and what I mean is like apathy and just
back, you know, back the RAV4 over my head while I'm crying in the driveway.
That's the true poison in fan sites and college football in general. In sports in general, is apathy.
Apathy.
It's not anger. It's not infighting and bickering. You care and you're getting after it. And listen, I urge you all to be more mature in your online interactions. I know I'm saying that. I just wasted some breaths and I'll never get back. Okay. I know you're just going to be like, man, Jake said do better, so I'm going to do better.
Like a PSA,
but I urge you all to be more mature in your online interactions. But even immature, mature, whatever, you're coming back, you're talking, you're interacting, you're part of a community, all this stuff. I'm not trying to preach to you. I'm not your local pastor talking about being a part of a community. Just go be on a message board. But I mean, you care, and that's what's fun. But I think for a fan base, what's bad for the sport, what's bad for the team, what's bad for the program is when that apathy sets in, man. That's the toxic part of it.
I agree.
I worry Florida State fans get there if they don't get this thing under control real quick. And it's almost like not necessarily because they've been that bad for that long, but because they have been wrung out so hard by
they came in thinking like, oh, this is, you know, we're gonna avenge last year. And instead they've just become the laughing stock of I mean
for God's sakes, man, you've lost to Georgia Tech, Boston College, and Memphis. Like, this is not, we're not talking about the you know, 38 Yankees.
I heard Valdosta State wants a piece.
I'm sure they do. Now's the time to get it, too, is what I would say. I mean, my goodness. Now, hey, he seems a lot better State, than I thought.
Could Florida State hang 40 points on Valdosta State, you think?
No. No, I don't. I don't think so. That offense is terrible right now. They're anemic, dude. Now, they might be able to if they got DJU out of there. Maybe you put somebody else. I don't understand, like, why they're not just trying to get another spark. Like, they need to figure – like, just throw a body out there and see if something can change, because they're, like, definition insanity right now. Like, just do the same thing, get the same result.
Yeah, and I don't know. Apparently, DJ's dad is kind of a street agent type guy. I don't know much about it. Big Tony is his name or something like that.
Big Dave
is what it is. And I don't want to get into that whole thing. But as far as, like, I've talked to some people and know some people at Florida State, and they've interacted with them, and they're, like, super respectful kids, soft-spoken, kind, sweet kid. Everybody loves him, knows everybody's name.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like I'm rooting against the kid, but I think I agree, man. I think I would probably – I'd probably be playing a freshman. I'd probably trying to play a linebacker that played quarterback in high school or something.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Jump back to the single wing.
I'm not hating on the kid. I'm not saying that he's a bad guy or something. But what I'm saying is, if the task of the quarterback is to deliver the ball effectively, that's just not happening right now. So you need to try something else, because it's just not working. I mean, for Florida State, right, in my opinion, any of those three losses in a normal year would be pretty crushing. Like, you would be like, oh, damn, we lost to Memphis? Like, holy shit. Instead, you've lost to all three in the same year consecutively to start 0-3. That's skull crushing.
Yeah, that's hard, man. Like I said, that whole push and pull, the getting squeezed and all that stuff, that's tough, man. All right, so month of our own radio show. We've had 4 weeks of the Roos and Rowe show on the Bill Shanks Superstations. If you haven't seen it, superstations.com, go check it out. The recording usually gets out within, you know, a couple of 24 hours, 48 hours, and that'll be out. But we did, you know, every Sunday night from 6 to 7, except we've done it just as much from 5 to 6 as we have 6 to 7, because the Braves have played on ESPN a couple of times, and we've had to be off the air before the Braves get on. All right, what are we learning about live radio that we didn't already know? We went into it with a little experience. 1 hour is not that tough. You can got to get away from you.
That has really been my big takeaway, is, like, it didn't necessarily feel long the first week, but, like, after this last show, like, I'm like, man, that just breezes. Like, that's,
yeah, it's so fast with those commercial breaks in there, because it ends up being about, like, what a podcast is with breaks in there. And so you're doing it kind of in spurts, and, you know, you bring up, you're like, hey, man, let's, you know, should we get somebody on? And I'm kind of like, I don't know, man. I start to feel squeezed when we have somebody on. Like, it's just, you got some stuff. Like, I mean, I was thinking about the other day, we haven't even talked once about bringing on callers. An hour is so fast.
It reminds me a lot, especially that last segment we do, like segment 3, reminds me of on PTI when they do the big finish.
Yeah. You
know, and they're like just like rapid firing stuff. Like, I feel like we have to end up doing that every week just to touch on everything. And it's kind of crazy in that respect. You know, there are times I went into it, like you said, we had some experience. And so, but I went into it and I was kind of nervous, because I was like, all right, you know, like, we've guest hosted stuff, that's fine. But, like, this actually has our name on it now. What does that mean for us? You know, I want to make the guest host appearance a great product, but it just meant something a little bit different to me. So I was like, oh, do we have enough stuff? Can we fill this time? Yesterday we were like, segment 2, Falcons.
We didn't
really line much out. We were just like, all right, look, we just got to talk Falcons for 15 minutes. And we did it pretty effectively, I thought. We largely filled that spot and kind of crushed it. It's gotten easier. Even from week 1 to week 4, I feel like it's gotten way easier to do.
Falcons are playing right now, or are they? Who knows? Yeah, that's the way radio is, man. And it's cool. I love talking about the other sports. Get kind of loosening up and getting into it and, you know, kind of getting to share some opinion. It's made me pay attention to some other sports a little bit more too, because I just kind of want to have something to talk about. But, you know, you're all gung ho about that in the beginning. Like, I sat there, watched every play of the Falcons game, and I was kind of like, man, you know, there are some radio shows, like 3-hour radio shows, that will talk Falcons for an entire hour when you talk about this segment, that segment, and that segment over the course of 3 hours, once an hour. We're not having to do that. We've got about 15, you know, maybe 20 minutes if we want to bleed into another segment. That's just pretty crazy. But go check out Roos and Row. We'd love to have you listen to us.
Fun. It's not quite as much fun as this, because we have to be responsible for the FCC. To the FCC. Here we can just do whatever we want all the time. But it is. I think it's pretty. I'm biased. I think it's going pretty well, Jake.
Yeah, I do too. And listen, man, Bill, you know that we couldn't turn down $1 million a year, yeah, you know, to do, yes, the radio show. I mean, we just couldn't do it. And Bill offered us one apiece.
He's given me 25% of the profits on that tower out in Rochelle. So
okay,
I'm doing
negotiated him hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, got a lot of country fried steak money down there in Rochelle.
The country fried steak money spins well, and you put the screws though, Bill. I'm kind of jealous. You got a tower. All right, so we were talking about this before the show went on, and you said we've got to talk about this whenever it comes on. My dog went on vacation. Ask questions. I don't know where to start.
This doesn't make any sense to me. Explain what happened here, because I mean, like, I get what happened, but like, I don't know how many people would have just been like, sure, let's just follow through with the plan.
So this weekend, my wife had a shower. Was supposed to have a shower. She decided not to go because my daughter had volleyball pictures. My 9-year-old daughter plays volleyball, and she had volleyball pictures. Go chaos. She had volleyball pictures. My wife didn't go. Well, due to some other things we had going on, I decided not to go to Lexington, just kind of let it be a Palmer trip. Palmer went, you know, just by himself to cover the game. And, we had already set up kind of weeks ahead, boarding for our dog. And there's an app. I'm not going to use it, because if you want me to talk about it, you pay us some money. I'll talk about it all day. No, I'm just playing. But there's an app where you can go in and you can kind of board other dogs. You read reviews and stuff like this. And there's this one person. She's got a lot of repeat customers because she loves dogs. She loves dogs so much that she's got a big piece of plywood in front of her house that's all decorated with little prongs on it. And the kids in the neighborhood bring by loose sticks, because it's on the thing. It says Doggy Stick Library.
Wow. Yeah.
She's big, yeah, and she wants the sticks to carry back there and play, yeah, with her dogs. Okay. Sure. So she loves her dogs. And it is kind of a vacation for my dog. There's doggy door, and he's learned how to use it, and he's got a backyard. He loves playing with other dogs. Like, it's a great time. He comes back exhausted. Well, when we decided not to go out of town, I went to cancel, and I think it was like 55% at that time. Well, I was going to have to pay anyway. So I was like, hey, listen, a weekend of not having to walk the dog at 5 a.m. and all of this stuff. Let's just do it. So I took my dog anyway to there. And let me tell you, I know I've talked about this animal a little bit on this show. It was awesome. I love him. He's fun. Old Bentley is a sweet dog. And he's my dog too. Like, he likes me more than everybody else. Like, I'm tougher on him than anybody else. And I think this dog enjoys discipline, because me and him go round and round. But he's also thinks I'm his best friend in the world. And I don't like him a whole lot, but I love him. And I'll cry when he's gone one day.
Yeah.
I would love to give him away. but it was so nice. And
what got me was the phrase that you used. You said, I looked at my wife and I said, this is what our life used to be like.
It did, dude.
It's like what our life used to be desperation. Like. There was a desperation in your voice.
Because he's like 9 months old. And in my house, there's constant screaming.
That phrasing, though, makes it sound like this was one of the great personal tragedies that has afflicted your life.
It is.
This dog is just wreaking havoc on your life.
Can I tell you something? I will never let my wife or my kids talk me into buying anything else that is living. Okay. Like I will, it will never happen again. Like I knew that we shouldn't do this. I knew how much easier it was when we didn't have a dog, the boarding and the coming home. And I'm not saying this with disgust. Like I love dogs. Like I'm the kind of person, like if I see a dog out in public, you know, and the person even looks halfway friendly or like they're, you know, willing to let you talk to their dog, you know, or pet their dog, I'll ask, you know, can I pet him? Especially if there's like a little bulldog or a Frenchie or something like that, you know. But I love dogs, but I don't like being a dog owner, man. I don't like being a dog owner. And, you know, I don't like buying flea and tick medicine, heartworms, grooming. My dog's at the groomer right now. Like we take him to the groomer. He goes back there cause he rolls and stuff in the backyard. He's a vile creature, dude. He's so vile. I mean, just some of the stuff he eats and, I don't know, man. He's a spaz. He's a good boy. He's a sweet animal. And he loves me, but he's a big mistake.
Yeah.
He's a big mistake.
Yeah. I get it.
And we had a little taste of what life was like without him. And
did he sense a relief in her as well? Like, did she also realize that it was?
No question.
Yeah. She also realized that this was.
This is simultaneously one of the great tragedies of my life, but also one of the great victories is. Everybody knows I was right.
Yeah, you were right.
Everybody knows I was right.
Yeah.
That feels good, man. That
feels good. I just can't believe you followed through with dog vacation. Now, I guess what I would ask is because you've done this and it was successful and there was this relief, do you anticipate that you will be giving the dog additional vacations?
Yeah, it's going to happen again.
Sometimes.
I don't know if it'll happen again for real. I mean, it's... there may be some times where I know I'm going to be out for the day or something, like wife and kids are out of town, where I might just, you know, give them to her for a weekend. She's great with him, man. He has a good time there. I get a break from him. I need a break from that guy. You know,
yeah. Maybe the dog likes the vacation too. Who doesn't enjoy a vacation?
Oh, he does. There's no doubt about it. He goes crazy over there. He loves being over there. And she's got young kids, and they've got three or four dogs, and she's got young kids that have been, what I can only imagine with how big those dogs are, have just been absolutely trampled since they were able to sit upright. They don't care. You know, dog headbutts them in the face, they just headbutt them right back. I mean, they're basically pups themselves. You know, this is how it goes. Man. I love dogs.
I love that dog owner.
What our life used to be like, Andrea. I love you, darling. All right. This is not University of North Carolina on the screen. Come on, Unc. Shannon Sharp, man. Bruce, listen, as much as you like the "this is what our life used to be like" one-liner, the text that you sent me, Unc is in rut, I think was probably better. I've laughed about that several times. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to send you to it. I'm not going to encourage you to go watch it.
It's not hard to find if you look up Shannon Sharp's name. It's not hard to find. If you look up Shannon Sharp's name, you'll come across what we're talking about.
Roos and I had a euphoric 30 minutes. But I don't know if euphoric is Shannon Sharp's Instagram live, but it was, dude, we laughed so hard. Looking at all the comments.
Oh, the comments were tremendous. It was one of the great comment happenstances of all time on Twitter, in my opinion. Like some of the replies, everybody was so fast and everybody was so sharp on it. And it was like, and Shannon Sharp, to his credit, has really taken it all and rolled with the punches. Now, there are people
got hacked.
I've seen people that suggest that he did this as a publicity stunt.
Oh God. This, I don't know why, but this takes me back to the Mike Leach being hired as the head coach at Ole Miss. Do you remember that?
No.
The hoax from the oh God. So back in the day, I'll try to get this right. But if you don't know where I'm going with this, so Shannon Sharpe immediately after this was over said, "I've been hacked."
Okay. Yeah.
And that's it. Turns out he wasn't hacked.
Yeah.
Just like my man David Johnson, who covers Ole Miss. David is a wonderful human being, okay, and a really good reporter. And I understand why what happened. Like the reason I laugh at this is because I put myself in his shoes, and I would have been the exact same way. Somebody made a Twitter account. I don't know who it was, but it was somebody on Twitter made an account, and it mimicked the Ole Miss site's account to the T.
Okay.
Except instead of using, there was an L or an I. Instead of using an L, they used the uppercase I.
Right.
And they had it. They had it perfect. I mean, you know, heading, everything was perfect. And they made a graphic and they reported. And I'm pretty sure it was Mike Leach. It may have been somebody else, but they reported that Ole Miss had hired a head coach. And then they got some people to tweet it out, and it took off that a news outlet was reporting this. Well, David Johnson's running that site.
Yeah.
And before deciding to look at his own tweets to see if he had actually been hacked and that tweet had come out from his account, he tweets, "I've been hacked." When that's clearly not what has happened.
Sure.
And it's just one of the funniest because I'm sitting there thinking about the panic he must have felt. Like someone sends him a screenshot.
Oh, yeah.
Or a link to the tweet, and you're looking at it, it looks exactly the same. And he's like, "Holy shit, this is me.
Yeah.
I've been hacked."
Yeah, sure.
And like, it got people. Like, I remember our buddy Blake Alderman, you know Blake, and I do too. We love him. He covers Florida for 24/7 sports. I remember I saw it and I caught up on it later that night. It was one of those times where I think I was laying around in the floor. Rolling around on the floor laughing to my wife was like, "Are you going to be okay?" Because I had just lost it over this. But Blake Alderman was on Facebook and I was just scrolling Facebook and he goes, "Damn, the Twitter's got me." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" I texted him and said, "What are you talking about?" He sent me a link to it. And I was like, and I started kind of untangling it. Dude, it was just I laughed so because I know what he felt. He was just like, Oh my God.
Sure.
You know, there's no way this is happening. It was such a great emulation. I've been hacked. And, oh, man, just on point.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, Shannon Sharpe, I don't know, man. Like, I can't put anything past anybody anymore in terms of publicity stunt, right? And so I do think that that's within the realm of possibility, that he knew exactly what he was doing.
Had to. That's my theory. We're not going to go into why I think he might have had to do that. I mean, I think everybody's thinking that. But, you know, listen, I think what his motive might have been to do that on purpose. But listen, he did it. And he rolled with the punches and he made some sounds. Listen,
he's an active,
I'm not encouraging you.
A healthy and active man is what he called himself, which
I appreciate. That's what he did. That's what he called himself. Oh, he's getting to be an old man too. Like man was down there in Reidsville, Georgia, Tattnall County, running with the offense down there way back in the day, about in the early 90s.
Did he go to Tattnall?
He went to Tattnall County. Yeah.
Wow. He I remember my only real Shannon Sharpe story is probably like six-ish years ago. I went out to what was at the time the U.S. Army All-American game in San Antonio, and our buddy Noah went with me. And we were up in the press box looking down on the field, and this figure, like, comes out of the locker room, and I'm like, who in the hell is that? What is that? We thought the only person we could come up with, possibly, we thought, was Dorial Green Beckham. We were like, this guy's mass. It was Shannon Sharpe. Shannon Sharpe looked like he looked like Megatron down there. I mean, just ridiculous how big he was. So, hey, I'm sure she got her money's worth.
All right, checking off. What you got?
Well, it's almost, it's not quite, but it's almost fall, right? And in terms of like the weather, it's been a little cooler in the evenings. It's getting there. So I was thinking about it today. You know that I love a good food conversation with you, Jake Rowe. And, but I don't know that this is one that we've shared. So I'm curious, are you a soup guy? And if so, what's your go-to?
I'm not a soup guy, typically. I mean, sometimes, because my family, my wife and kids love eating at Olive Garden. And listen, if I'm going to microwave something, I can do it at home.
sure.
You know, like, I mean, I'm not an Olive Garden person, but I do like their soups. I think those are pretty good. When it gets cold outside, I definitely can't touch soups during the summer. I mean, I love a good baked potato soup. Baked potato soup is a good soup.
That O'Charley's baked potato soup.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Oh, it's dope. If you ever get the chance, very good.
It's fake. It's just fake.
Yeah.
I like a good baked potato soup, broccoli cheddar soup.
You got to be a chili guy.
Yeah, I like chili. Chili a soup?
I mean, sure. I mean, it's a, you know, if it's.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, man. One of the things for me getting older, I can't do beans anymore, man. They wreck me. Like, they will have of just like dysentery pains in my belly.
I'm sorry to hear that. I love a bean.
Yeah, I do too. I think they're great. But, you know, I used to make chili with, I mean, you know, and there's another debate too. We live in Georgia. I think it's okay. You know, I'm not
necessary, worried. In my opinion.
I am worried about them. You know, you put this kind of thing out on the internet, I'm worried about the Texas militia showing up at my house.
Sure. Sure.
Because of their beliefs on chili. I'm fine with chili without beans. I don't really care. My favorite thing to do though is to make the chili and then go buy a bunch of good hot dogs and then just tear chili dogs up.
Okay. Okay.
Even if it's that kind of chili. I mean, I know it's not technically chili dog chili, but you know,
I like the dip the grilled cheese in the chili as well. I'm really into that.
I'm big on grilled cheese with chili. I like tater tots.
Oh, okay. All right.
Really crisp them up, especially with the air fryer.
Oh yeah.
Get some crispy crowns, some Orida crispy crowns.
Sure.
Yeah, get some of those, like those Chick-fil-A tater tots.
Yeah.
And crisp them up real good, and you know, just throw a few on, you know, just.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen you like eat order or like, you know. I'm soup. I don't like.
No, I don't typically get it when I go out for sure. Like, I think it's a little bit of a waste of money because I know how cheap soup is to make.
Sure.
You know, like it's, you know, I'm not going to sit there and give them their margin on that. Not that I'm at war with a place when I go eat there. Like, you're not going to beat me.
Yeah.
You've got my business, but I just not a big soup guy. I would say though, excuse me. I would say probably my favorite though. Somebody years back gave me a recipe to this vegetable soup, and you put kind of whatever you want in it. I put kind of like corn, can of tomatoes, fire roasted tomatoes, beef broth, celery, carrots, whatever. And then you use like I don't have it memorized, but it's like a garlic powder, something. And then some Tony Satcheries. And you just kind of, you know, do that. And the more you stew it, kind of the more the potatoes, you know, you cube up potatoes. And it's just like an old vegetable soup, but it's kind of Cajun. It's got a little Cajun flair to it.
I love a vegetable soup. There's a recipe out there called Swamp Soup that I got real into too. It's like a bunch of turnip greens,
mm-hmm.
and you dump all that in, and then some smoked sausage in there with that, a can of corn, and it's good stuff. Also, too, I love. I will say probably the finest soup I'm aware of is available Dime Park Dixie Stampede in Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge, as it were. And it's this creamy vegetable soup. One of my friends made some. She was doing like this. She was cooking all these soups. She made it. The secret? Corn syrup. Which was kind of gross. But it was delicious. And it made it very viscous. It was very tasty.
Yeah. I don't ever order it. Not a real big fan of it in general. You know, but, you know, sometimes I like it. Sometimes the mood strikes me. I like making a big pot of it because it's good to eat leftover. It's kind of always good to have around. And, you know, I like making a pot leftover, and then I'll just throw some in a coffee cup and sit it right here beside me and just, you know, sip on like two or three cups throughout the day. you know,
that little pinky up while you enjoy
tapping the back of it to get those taters to fall out the bottom of it. It's kind of.
I know what that's about. I know what that's about.
Yeah, you know what that's all about.
Yeah.
Listen, did somebody win the Mega Millions? It was getting up there near a billion.
If not, I'll go play it.
Let's see. Mega Millions winner.
Mega Millions next winner. Estimated. Somebody had to have because the next estimated jackpot is 31 million.
Yeah, somebody won it. So whether that's true or not, it got up to right around, whatever happened. I think it's true. I don't know why I said whether it's true or not. $800 million. All right. So I was thinking about it. When you win the Mega Millions.
Yes.
Let's say, cut that in half and then probably cut it in half again after you pay taxes and then. So
I got what, about $200 million?
Yeah, $200 million.
Okay.
I was thinking about this because as you dream as you're, I do as an adult, like, man, will I ever get to a point where I can have this or I can do this or we can have this as a tradition as a family or stuff like that. I wanted to ask you, in terms of luxuries, what is the first thing you do if you come into that kind of money? If you become if you kind of get FU money to the point that nothing is kind of out of reach, what is the first thing you do?
Are you asking like what's the first thing I buy?
The first luxury you're gonna obviously you might pay off a house or whatever, pay off
right.
Something like that. The first thing you get for yourself that or establish for yourself or whatever.
I don't know, man. I would honestly I know you know this about like I'm not a very luxurious person. I'm not like somebody who. I don't have like a bunch of nice shit. I don't care about that really very much. Somebody asked me, they were like, what would you do if someone broke into your house? I said, I'd help them carry the shit out the door. I was like, there's nothing in here worth taking. I mean, I don't know, man. I guess it would be a vehicle of some sort. I would probably I'd dive in on, I'd love to have like one of those 70 models, those late 70s Land Cruisers. Like really done up beautifully. That would be sweet.
It could be an experience too, though. I mean, I'm talking about
an experience.
Yeah, I mean, anything.
Then I've got the answer.
You're doing for yourself with that money.
No, then I know what I would do. I would go to Antarctica.
Oh wow! What?
Yeah. I would go to Antarctica. My bucket list. My personal bucket list has one item, and it is that I want to go to all seven continents. And so I feel like I could knock South America out in route to there. And then I just hop over to Australia when I get back. But Antarctica is the hardest one to check off. The cruises, I've looked at the cruises for down there. It's like $25,000 or something like that, which is more than I would ever want to spend on something like that. But I do want to go. I do want to go just to say I did it. And so I would go to Antarctica. That would be my first big expense. I can tell that one threw you a little bit.
It did. And you explained it well. I mean, I get it now. You know, I've thought about it, man. And it's for me, it's a toss up between, and I wouldn't buy a jet. I would not buy a jet. Under no circumstances am I buying a plane. But putting myself on a track of private aviation and or private chef would probably be very much near the top of my list.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Which would you choose of the two?
I don't know. It bounces back and forth. And you know what? I can't even take credit for this as kind of my thing because it's a conversation I had with Josh Pate. We were having dinner in Miami a couple years ago. And we're talking, I was like, man, what would you do like if you ever came in? And I was like, and he goes, I know what I'd do. And he said those two things. And there may have been another one. And I was like, oh, man, those sound. I would probably go private chef because I'm really, the first thing I want to do is something to improve my life. Like on the day to day, right? Yeah. When I'm not traveling and all that stuff. And yeah, I think I would try to lock down a private chef. I don't know, man. I think I might would have to do something like I think I might would have to do something like kind of build myself a get some land and build myself a guest house and kind of be like, hey, listen, you live here. I'm going to pay you this amount of money per year. And you'll know, you know, what meals we need this far ahead of time. And this is what we like. And, you know, all this stuff, feed yourself with our groceries. You know, I love to cook and I would probably do that sometimes. Like I'd probably, you know, join up with them and cook.
I think that it's interesting in this fantasy that this person lives on your property. That's a very weird twist to this whole thing. Like that's not necessary. They could just come to your house and cook, but you want them very, very close by. Are they on call? Is that what you're envisioning?
I don't know that. See, that's what I'd have to figure out. Like, I mean, you know,
you'd be comfortable with that, to be honest with you.
What now?
I don't feel like you'd be comfortable with that. Like having said, like being like,
cause they would kind of be private chef and groundskeeper.
Sure.
You know, yeah, like
you're really into some sort of like butler situation.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I think that'd be a good role, you know.
Well, is this okay? Let me ask you this. Is this person also now, is this a strictly business relationship or is this person also your friend?
I don't know. They would become like family, I would imagine. Sure. Knowing us. You know, knowing the way we do things. I mean, we would accept them into our home as members of our family, basically. Another thing I could do is I could just like tell my sister, give my sister and her husband a bunch of money. I'm like, hey, y'all come live with us. You live next door, cook for us every night. But the problem with that is I'm going to weigh 7,000 pounds because my sister is a phenomenal cook and she is a soul food cook and she is awesome.
Yeah, you need that guy who is going to be able, you need that guy who's going to be able to do the keep you in line.
Yeah, to mix in a little broccoli rabe every now and then.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Get some bok choy in my diet.
This is you're
right. You know what's going to say right at the top of the list? You know what's going to say? No curry.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Sure.
No curry in my house.
Yeah.
Tandoori chicken, not welcome.
I need to make some here soon.
Oh boy, I'm glad I ain't anywhere close by. They're gonna smell that. They're gonna smell that shit throughout the mountains. It's gonna be terrible.
Oh, sure.
I bet those people up there don't even know what to think about curry up there in the hills of Tennessee. All right, folks, we'll be back with you next Monday. I think
probably. Who knows?
If I live that long, and if Jay Roof lives that long,
maybe next time we'll get a guest. Even I don't know. We filled an hour with we were talking about how short the radio show was. We filled the hour of just solid.
We've done way more on this than we do on the radio show.
Yeah, no commercial break. So,
all right, guys, we love you. We appreciate you. This has been Bark After Dark. Have a great rest of your week.
Ooh.